Meditation is the action of silence. And that is the thought for today. Welcome to 7 Good Minutes. I'm Clyde Lee Dennis. Thanks for joining me for what I believe will be 7 of the most enriching minutes of your day. In today's episode of 7 Good Minutes, we have our Mindful Monday segment, in which we get a great explanation as to why many people find it difficult to meditate. Enjoy.
To avoid all evil, to cultivate good, and to cleanse one's mind, this is the teaching of the Buddha. Meditation has been scientifically proven to have many health benefits, like reduced anxiety and better emotional health. While this is great, I also see many people struggling with incorporating meditation in their daily routines. Even though it takes some effort to adopt new habits, there is one thing at play that doesn't like meditation at all. This is the mind. So I won't deny that experienced meditators won't have too much trouble meditating whenever they want, because the wise part of their thinking mind has become dominant. However, the average Joe, myself included, often experiences a mind that's overly active, eager to solve puzzles, analyze past events, and calculate future possibilities no matter if it's past midnight. The mind is a precious tool, but when it's out of control, it can be a destructive monster as well. The quality of our thoughts is so important because emotions are the consequence of it. As emperor and Stoic philosopher Marcus Aurelius puts it, "The things you think about determine the quality of your mind. Your soul takes on the color of your thoughts." End quote. Negative thoughts most likely cause fear, anger, or grief. Positive thoughts most likely cause laughter. It's not uncommon that people that are in a constant state of negative thinking end up being depressed or anxious. This makes overthinking dangerous because sufferers may end up hurting and even killing themselves. The ancient practice of meditation proves to be a cure for the restless mind. The Buddhists call such a mind a monkey mind because it tends to jump from branch to branch. Currently, Western healthcare has begun acknowledging the benefits of meditation, so we increasingly see doctors prescribing it to their patients. The most common form of meditation is breath meditation. It's very simple, really. You just sit down or lay down and watch the breath. You can focus on how the breath enters your nostrils or how it fills up the lungs and belly. And you can also focus on the moments between the in and out breath. The mind will do anything to divert your attention to the thoughts it produces. And when that happens, you focus your attention back on the breath. And when it happens again, you again bring back your attention to your breath. The essence of this practice is that you don't engage with your thinking mind, but just let it be. Watch the thoughts come and go like clouds in the sky. By focusing your attention to the breath, you anchor yourself to something that is not your thinking. Even though the practice is so simple, it's incredibly difficult for many overthinkers to actually do it on a regular basis. I experience that the more active my mind is, the less I want to do it. Especially in the evening, after a busy day with lots of distractions, my thinking is often so amped up that I would rather scroll down the Facebook feed or watch pointless videos on YouTube than sitting down for 20 minutes watching my breath. This doesn't make sense because checking social media and watching videos is even more tiring for an already tired mind, while watching the breath gives the mind a break. So, what's the problem? The Buddha also noticed that it's difficult to tame the mind. I quote, "Wonderful indeed, it is to subdue the mind, so difficult to subdue, even swift, and seizing whatever it desires. A tamed mind brings happiness." End quote. The struggle is that the mind that knows that meditation is good for you is the same mind that doesn't want to stop thinking. This part of the mind doesn't like meditation. In fact, it hates it, simply because meditation subdues its very purpose, thinking. Now, we can make distinctions between mental states. a mindfulness-based therapy called dialectical behavior therapy that is used to treat mood disorders, distinguishes three mental states: the reasonable mind, the emotional mind, and the wise mind. The emotional mind is a non-logical state that is dominated by emotions and creates a very subjective view on reality. The reasonable mind operates based on facts and is great at planning and analyzing. Both of these states, however, can be out of control. The wise mind is a healthy balance between the two. It's the part that knows what's best for you. In a state of turmoil, the little voice that knows that the mind needs a break is coming from the wise mind. The emotional mind, however, wants to be completely immersed in feelings, no matter if it's anger, grief, or laughter. And the reasonable mind wants to solve the future's problems and sort out past events, and it's exhausting itself doing so. The stronger the reasonable and emotional mind are, the harder it gets to actually listen to the wise mind's voice. Meditation is a method to tame the mind, even though it doesn't want to be tamed. That's why it's so difficult to meditate on a regular basis. It's going against the very thing that the mind enjoys doing. Luckily, there's always a part in us that knows what's best. The key is listening to it.
Please keep in mind, this is about half of the entire presentation. If you're up for a treat, you should definitely listen to the whole thing. You can do so by clicking the link labeled View the Full Video on YouTube in the show notes. So that does it for this episode of 7 Good Minutes. Until next time, let's be civil to one another out there. Thanks for listening.